Blog Talk Radio.
This is Rich Wilson. Welcome to Fantasy Baseball Live. This is our second attempt to do our closer preview. We got cut off last night and only got about the first half of those done. So we're going to get started here in a few minutes. But just if you're new to the show, appreciate you guys tuning in. If you want to go out and support us, you can do that a variety of ways. Of course, always hit us up on Twitter at RichWilsonP361, at RichWilsonP361, or the great Tim McLeod at TimothyLMC, at TimothyLMC. If you want to go out and support our show, you can go out to our website, prospect361.com. And on the right-hand side, you'll see our sponsors. We have StubHub. Just click that on if you need any tickets. StubHub is a fine organization. Just go out there and get tickets. There are no discounts, but you will support the show by doing that. There's MLB Shops. If you want paraphernalia, you want T-shirts, caps, go there, get a discount by clicking that on. And, of course, if you need memorabilia, there's Steiner Sports that are out there. Of course, you can go out and rate and review us out on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. We're going to get started now and bring on the great Tim McLeod. Mr. McLeod, good evening.
Good evening, Rich. How are we this evening?
Good. Now, Timmy, where are you now?
Right now, I am in downtown Timmins, Ontario. If you go 9.5 hours straight north of Toronto, we could shake hands, Rich. Actually, to go north of here, there's only about 20 miles more road. And then you've got a couple-hour train trek, and you're to James Bay.
Where is it from Toronto? So, I don't know where that is.
About 10 hours straight north, Rich.
Okay, that's good. So
I'm closer
where are you
to James Bay than I am Toronto. How's that?
Okay. So tell us your schedule. So you're going to go visit some more family. When do you wind your way to New York?
That's later this week. Just got to give a shout out to Jay Clifton, one of our regular listeners. Took him out to supper tonight. We had pizza and chatted for a couple hours. It was a nice but short evening, Rich. Tomorrow I'm at my brother's place in North Bay. The day after that, I'm south of Buffalo, and then I'm in New York for Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And next Sunday, I'll be doing the podcast live from Doug Cooper's house.
So wait a minute. You're going to be in New York when? Thursday, Friday, and Saturday?
Yes.
I will be in New York Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Well, and you know what? I just checked my calendar, and guess what? I got nothing going on Saturday, Rich. Can we have ourselves a date here?
Maybe so. Guess who will be with me? My lovely wife, Lori, and both kids will be there too. So we're going to go visit them. So, Tim, it might be a date.
Well, I would love to meet Lori, Rich. I've heard so much about her, and I've never had the pleasure. So if we can work something out, Hey, I'm adoptable, Rich. I could be the third kid, okay? if it works for you on Saturday.
Well, I will give you a call, Tim, at some point. Sounds like you'll be driving most of the time. I will give you a call and we'll work something out. So this is awesome. And I think I'm also in town when you're back in New York. So it's all about me coming to see you, Timmy, because I care.
Well, and Rich... That is my heart, okay? You hear that?
Yeah, I hear that. I hope it's not defibrillating or fibrillating, Tim. That's not good.
No, I took my drugs. I'm good to go, Rich.
Okay, you're very, very good. So, Timmy, a lot of stuff happening in baseball as we get close to the season starting, and Jake Arrieta signed, which we talked about, and
right.
To get him on the 40-man roster – I don't know if you saw this, but the Philadelphia Phillies designated Tommy Joseph for assignment, starting first baseman, still kind of a, you know, he's still a prospect that hasn't even made arbitration yet. So it's not a money thing. They just said 22 home runs, not enough at first base at 300 on base percentage, not good enough. You're gone.
Well, yeah, the Santana signing sort of sealed his fate, and this just sort of put the nail in the coffin, Rich. They just don't have room to carry him. But all of a sudden, Philadelphia's not looking too shabby, even short term. You know, if are they a playoff team this year?
No. I don't think so. I think they're a playoff team at just about the time. I think Arrieta's got another year or two left in him, if that. I mean, his velocity, I don't know if you've seen, Tim, his velocity has dropped over the last couple of years. So he's not the 95, 96 guy anymore. He's more of the 93, 92, 93 guy. And, you know, it gets a little dicey there. So we'll see. I mean, Timmy, he's not a spring chicken. He's been used a lot, particularly when he was with Chicago. So I do worry about that. I know Scott Barr said he was a young age because he was injured so much with the Orioles. He didn't play very much. I didn't pitch very much. I don't buy that. So I think Kingery's got to come up. J.P. Crawford's got to come up. And I think, you know, Mikel Franco's still got to develop. I think they're a bit of ways yet.
Okay. No, I was just curious for your thoughts on that one. I guess the only starting.
What do you think, Timmy? Do you think they'll compete this year?
I think if things broke right, yeah, I think they could give it a go if things break right. And one of those things is getting Kingery up and Nola, you know, taking. If he doesn't take the next step, at least maintaining what we saw last year, with, you know, maybe a little bit of an uptick on Nola, but they're probably a starting pitcher light. And but you know, crazier things have happened. I think they're in better shape now than they were 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, I think a lot of things would have to break right. I mean, again, the reason I say a couple of years, Jorge Alfaro, what, less than 100 at bat, 200 bats in the major leagues, Carlos
yep.
Santana. You know what you're going to expect at first base. Cesar Hernandez, Kingery's going to take a spot at some point, so you have very little at-bats there. J.P. Crawford, shortstop, very little major league at-bats up there. Michael Franco, still developing. Rhys Hoskins, I mean, Timmy, he blew the doors out when he came. Still, what, 250 at-bats in the major leagues? Odubel Herrera, you know what you're going to get center field there. Of course, Roman Quinn, if he can ever make it up, I think there's something there. And then Nick Williams, again, at 250 or so at bat. So it would be pretty remarkable if they made the playoffs with such little major league time in.
Are they the number two team?
Are they, what, after the Nationals?
Yeah.
That's interesting, Timmy. So I think the Mets, if the Mets pitching comes back, you know, which is a big if Matt Harvey is 50% of Matt Harvey, if Seth Lugo can pitch, we don't, Steven Matz looks like he might be hurt again. So it is about pitching there. The Miami Marlins are terrible, so they can rule them out. Who else is in that division? I'm missing somebody, Tim.
It's a brave new world, said
Ozzie.
Oh, the
Braves. Yeah, I think I would like the Braves more than I do Philadelphia at this juncture.
Yeah. Definitely, though, it's going to be an interesting division over the next few years, isn't it?
Yeah, I thought we were talking about this year. I love the Phillies in 2000, second half of 2019 and 2020. Really like them there. I like the Braves next year as well. I think once Acuna gets up and gets established and you know, these pitching, I was talking in one of the many podcasts to me that has never seen the light of day. I was talking about Sean Newcomb. Sean Newcomb pitched very well in his outing today. I mean, a kid with really good stuff could never throw strikes. You know, Luis Gohara is a little banged up, a little ankle injury, probably starts the year back in the minor leagues. It's a nice little pitching staff that's coming along, and They've got some nice young bats that are surfacing. I still think Dansby Swanson will be a good Major League Baseball player. So I like the Braves a lot.
Yeah, would you be at all surprised if, say, 3 years from now, if Washington is near the bottom of the pile, they'll never slump below the Marlins, at least for 5 years. But would it shock you to see the Nats finishing fourth in that division 3 years from now?
Boy, Timmy, I love Victor Robles, man. So if you're telling me that Victor Robles is 90% of Bryce Harper, I'd buy that. Rendon's still got another couple of years. I'm talking out loud. It's a tough question. Strasburg signed for, 4 years? Scherzer for, another 4 years? Did you say 3 years? Could I see them in fourth place? Possibly, but they got Juan Soto coming. They have a nice little second baseman on its way. They still have some guys that are coming through the system that I kind of like. They've never been shy about spending money. So I'm going to say yes. I would be disappointed in 3 years if they're in fourth place. I still think they're in their post-Bryce Harper window. And I've said this, Timmy, I've gone on record. I don't know what you think. I bet you they never win a world championship with Bryce Harper. And I think they have a better chance without him.
Yeah, you mentioned that a few weeks ago, and it's fascinating. I'll leave it at that, Rich. It's fascinating. It's definitely something to ponder, isn't it?
It is, Tim, and I'm fascinated very much by the whole thing. It's and again, I don't go too much on emotion with baseball. I think that's a little overplayed. When you get in the playoffs, a little different, but it just seems like there's something not right with that Bryce Harper team, and I can't put my finger on it. This doesn't seem, something's not right. It's never been right.
Well, no, you know, when you look at the results that they have achieved over the past, 3-4 years, they're a little light, aren't they?
Yeah. But the Phillies, Timmy, your point is well taken. I mean, if it's, who knows, this year, next year, if they don't pull it off, I mean, something has gone dreadfully wrong, because they pretty much got a solid positional player almost at every position now, young, controllable asset. And they've got, in this case, Aaron Nola, very good number two pitcher. Jake Arrieta, probably number two, number three pitcher. And they've got Sixto Sanchez coming up. And they've got some guys, young arms that are – it's a really interesting team. And you know, Ruben Amar, we made fun of him, but man, he developed some players before he left. And I think you're starting to see the fruits of his drafting.
And nobody will remember that except me and you, Rich.
That's right. Yeah. When we gave Ruben Amar a bad time as well, but I remember I saw him shortly after he got fired it was right before he got fired. And I was at a AA game in Trenton. He was sitting there and he was like a movie star to me. I mean, people coming up asking for autographs, the Phillies fans loved him. So, take it for what it's worth.
Yeah. Was he an easier or harder autograph than Daisuke, Rich?
he was a harder one, because it looked like more people knew him than knew Daisuke sitting in the behind home plate in a AAA game with a visiting club. So with a hat on and kind of all bundled up.
Okay. I still thank you a bunch for that. It's sitting on top of my monitor at home.
There you go. That was. We'll have to tell that story again at some point, Timmy. The other thing I wanted to ask you about is, boy, the Yankees just made our lives really complicated. Like, they just signed Neil Walker for only $4 million. So, Timmy, first of all, before we talk about Neil Walker, did the Players Association completely blew it? They got chefs, of course. They got 4 extra days of vacation throughout the year in the last collective bargaining agreement. And what the owners got is all the money.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
I mean, Marvin Miller must be turning over in his grave.
Well, yeah, it's just a shame he's not in the Hall of Fame like Bud Selig.
Yeah, it's true. I just think it's – there's something not right, Timmy. And what I worry about, is the players are going to get very angry unless things turn around next year with the free agent signing. I mean, Neil Walker is not a great baseball player, but in baseball math, he's worth more than $4 million. And, you know, what Jake Arrieta signed for, I mean, they're just – these guys are getting screwed.
What about Moustakas?
Yeah, $5.5 million. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. And it's Scott Barnes definitely, I think, misplayed some things, as we talked about last night. But, Timmy, this is just not good. And I worry that there's going to be a revolt. And the revolt comes up with the collective bargaining agreement. And that's where we have lockouts and strikes. And we don't need that.
Well, let's face it. We've got, what, 3 more years, Rich, until the contract's up?
Yeah, I don't know if it's 3 or 4, but it's a little while.
Yeah, well, already we're off to a good start, okay? 3-4 years from now, the picture could be really ugly. Not this ugly, but real ugly.
Yeah, it's very fascinating what's happening. And if the owners might want to just do a preemptive strike and give something back, I mean, maybe take away – the assigning a draft pick to these players. I mean, something that they're giving back because, I mean, Timmy, look, you've studied labor management. I mean, you get screwed over, the employees get angry. And that's why unions form. And, you know, and if they're formed, that's when they rebel. I mean, we've seen it in history so many times.
Well, yeah, maybe what they might want to do is take Tony Clark and make him a member of the management negotiating team.
I think he was, Tim. I think he was a mole. I think he was really working for Manfred. I think that's what it is. I mean, that guy, I feel bad for him. I mean, he seems like a nice guy, but, man, he really blew it.
Well, yeah, it's not working out according to Hoyle. And Something has to give because, let's face it, we're 3-4 years away from a new deal, and it's not going to get any better. And if something isn't done, by the time we get to the expiration of this contract, I would say a lockout or a strike isn't a possibility. It's inevitable. How's that?
Yeah, I know, Timmy. And when it gets right to, it's all about us. What the hell are we going to talk about? It's not good. Triple-A game?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Does anybody really have interest in rotisserie lawn darts, Rich?
Really? I know, Timmy. It's tough. Let's go back to this Yankee signing. Now, you're way smarter than me, so you got to help me with this. And let me just throw the names out that I think are in the mix for playing time. Miguel Andujar, we talked about him last night. You got Didi Gregorius, looks like he's locked in. You got Brandon Drury. You got Neil Walker. And you got Gleyber Torres. That's 5 guys for 3 positions, Tim. I think my math is right. Like, how does this shake out?
Well, we also have Torres as well, don't we?
Ronald Toy, yeah.
The 6th. In a utility role. You know, he's got to go somewhere, either on the roster or Triple-A. I don't have any answers. Maybe they just spent the $4 million so they wouldn't get named in a grievance. I don't know, Rich.
Well, so Didi Gregorius, he's locked in the shortstop. So we'll eliminate him. And let's eliminate Ronald Torres at the moment and just throw him out because he's not fantasy relevant. So we got 2 positions and 4 guys.
Yep.
Who is – you're at the draft table, and all of these guys potentially have some level of value. I mean, like who at the end of the year is going to get the most at-bats?
You're tossing darts. If it was me, and I'm looking at that whole mess, Neil Walker's not part of the equation. The upside isn't there. Drury, I'm going to take the same approach. The only two that I want, if the price is right, is going to be Torres and Andujar.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to overpay for the privilege this year. I just don't see enough. Like for our game, I don't see enough upside for Drury or Walker to put them in the equation. Even though they might play all year, I can go elsewhere.
I think that makes logical sense, even though
brewery. Well, they keep saying Neil Walker's going to earn their position. I just think he's your second baseman, Timmy. I think he's your second baseman, and I think Gleyber Torres is your third base. I think they hate Miguel Andujar, bringing in guys so he doesn't get any playing time. I think he's the guy that's traded. I think Neil Walker's eventually playing second base. I think Gleyber Torres is a third, and I don't know what the heck. You said it last night. Brandon Drury is probably your super utility guy who can play all over the place. I think that's how it winds up, but I agree with you. I think Torres and Andujar are the two out of the bunch who have fantasy, interesting fantasy value. Unless Andujar gets the start in the beginning of the year because Gleyber Torres is, you know, still, you know, getting some at-bats at AAA and hits 7 home runs in the first month, I don't know, man. I don't like the setup for him.
No, it's definitely not fantasy friendly, Rich. By the way, just to let you know, you lost 90% of your volume. I don't know if something shut down at your end, or it's just Blog Talk continually harassing us. But your volume just fell right off, Rich.
All right. Well, how about now? How's my volume now?
It's okay if I put my ear up to that speaker thing.
Really good. I did nothing from me. Absolutely nothing. So, well, guys, we're doing the best we can. I got to get on the call to Todd Vader, and he's a famous back in ESPN, and see what the heck is going on, because I've done everything I know to do to get this thing to work. Before we get back into closers, Cargo now has signed back with the Rockies. Make some sense of that. Does that mean Ryan McMahon's not going to play first and that Ian Desmond's going to play first? I mean, does David Dahl get any playing time? What's going on?
There's way, way too many people, and yeah, you got Parra in there. I honestly think that Ryan McMahon is favored by the Rockies management as much as Andujar is favored by the Yankees. How's that?
I think you might be right, and I think that's a real, real shame. I mean, it looks like Ian Desmond's going to play first base. Cargo's going to play left. He might not get full playing time. And you know Blackman's got center field, so that David Dahl, you figure he's got to get some playing time. Ramiel Tapia, I'm assuming, goes back to AAA.
Why do they want Cargo, Rich? Can you figure that out? I can't figure it out for the life of me.
I think he's a Boris client, so I don't know. Maybe it's, I'll give you a pitcher in 2 years or get you a pitcher next year. I don't know what he's done, but it made no sense. I don't get it.
No, I don't either, Rich. Not at all.
And maybe it's a Tony Sincotta bobblehead theory.
They got enough bobbleheads. They got enough bobbleheads there in Colorado.
Yeah. So Timmy, let's take a quick break. When we get back, we're going to plow through the second half of our closing. Timmy, and let's get back into your closing. Everybody, if you want to go to prospect361.com, go to the fantasy tab, and you will see our closers out there. And actually, the lead pitchers and Tim's done just an amazing job. Tim, do you remember when we got cut off? You were in mid-sentence.
Sorry, Rich, I missed that one. Either I need a hearing aid, or we got a real volume problem.
Yeah, Timmy, I don't know, man. So
I don't know what.
We had volume for a second.
Did we lose volume, or are we still good?
Ah, we got it back now, Rich.
Is it? It's full volume now?
Yeah, I can hear you clear as a bell.
Okay, well.
I had to put my ear right up to the speaker to hear you a couple minutes ago, right?
I don't know, Timmy. It's very, very weird. So I'll go back out and edit all of that out, assuming that it's bad. So why don't we do this? Why don't we take another quick break and we come back? We'll act like nothing ever happened. Does that sound good?
Right now I feel like the fisherman, Rich. I'm hard of hearing.
Okay, Timmy, how do I sound?
You are just absolutely booming, Rich. Sounds great.
All right. I don't know what happened, man. It's just might be my equipment's going faulty, but hopefully I will be able to edit things out so that it looks good. Sounds good. Timmy, let's talk closers. Do you remember where we were when you got cut off?
Actually, no, but I'm just curious. If you were using a desktop, okay, and you're having computer issues, could you then say that you have faulty towers?
Yeah, that's true, Timmy. I'm glad you're back, Timmy. Even when you're not at home, the puns just keep coming. Faulty Towers, an old British comedy, Timmy, in the 70s?
Yeah, somewhere in that, Rich. I'm just totally impressed. You watch the same TV as me, Rich. Well done.
Well, that was the predecessor to Monty Python. I mean, that's John Cleese, man. That was great stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, talking to some whippersnapper here, Timmy. I know my stuff, man. Come on.
I know I will never debate Hogan's Heroes with you ever.
I would never. Don't even try. I know three things in life, and that's one of them, Timmy. I definitely know my Hogan's Heroes for sure. So Timmy, why don't we start off with I think we were to Sean Doolittle. Let's go with Sean Doolittle at number 13.
Sure.
Sean Doolittle, I mean, as you said, always gets injured. Really, really good stuff. How many saves do you think he gets?
I'm going to be the optimist, and 32, 33, somewhere in there.
So it is all about health, because Ryan Matson, nice little pitcher, has been given the closer job before. Brian Kinstler was a nice little – he was Minnesota, right? So before he got traded over. So, yeah, it was a closer there. So two legitimate guys in waiting. But I think you go with Sean Doolittle. If you get stuck with Doolittle as your number one closer, are you disappointed in that?
Yeah, I am, because I really want one of Osuna, Rivero, or Diaz, Iglesias. I want one of those four guys. Rich, I want the strikeout numbers that come with it. They're just horses. Doolittle is a number two I can live with, not as my number one.
That's tough, Timmy, because he's going to be somebody's number one. So I guess don't let that happen to you. Go a little early on your closers. Alex Colome is number 14, Timmy. Tampa Bay, does he remain in the Rays organization the entire season? Is that the worry there?
Yeah, that is a concern. I think he led the league in saves last year, but you know he's heading into his final 2 years of ARB eligible, and hey, his cost is not going to be dropping; it's going to be going up. Tampa Bay's been fire sailing it for the past 3 months. Where it gets interesting in Tampa Bay is like, who's the setup guy? It's messy right now. No definition.
Yeah, I mean, Daniel Hudson's always been an intriguing guy. Back when he was in Arizona, I thought he would be a closer. Really never got the opportunity. And, you know, is he number two? Is Sergio Romo number two? It's a great, great question, Tim.
Well, I think that one's going to be one of those. Let's toss a dart at one of two or three guys and hope it works out.
Yeah, Sergio Romo probably gets moved at the deadline if he's doing anything this year. The thing where I think it gets interesting is Ken Giles, who was probably a top 10 closer entering the postseason, completely blows up at the postseason and has not pitched well in spring training. At least he got blown up one outing. And Timmy, I guess everybody's worried about Kenny Giles.
Well, I certainly am, you know. Are we buying him this year based on his World Series record?
You know, Timmy, it was really disconcerting. He was not bad. He was horrible. And I don't know what happened. They talked about slick balls. They talked about maybe he just freaked out a little bit. I mean, it maybe just got into a rut. Maybe he was overused. I don't know, Timmy. It was bad. And we've seen these bad spurts with him, and they happened at the wrong time. Remember 2 years ago, they happened in April, and he lost his job, and Luke Gregerson got the role before he won it back?
Well, yeah, and there were people buying and selling. There was probably owners that owned 3 times that year. Not what you want for a number one, and that's why I've downgraded him and rate him down in the mid tier. It's not because his stuff isn't really; it's just the inconsistencies are at the stage where I'm not prepared to invest that highly in Ken Giles. Hey, the Astros are chasing another World Series, and the bullpen
yep.
is as deep as the rotation. So they're not going to put up with any nonsense there. They'll have Davinsky saving, or Brad Peacock, or Joe Smith, or Paulino Marte. Pick one. You know what I mean? They've got enough talent.
Yeah, somebody tweeted at me, do they think that Martez might be a candidate to close? And I think that's a good name as well. I think you're absolutely – I thought it was brilliantly said. 2 years ago, the Astros invested a ton of money – 3 years ago, invested a ton of money into Ken Giles. They gave up a lot of players. Turned out that Ken Giles was the best player in the deal. But they could invest in him. To me, they weren't very good. Now they're the defending world champion. He's going to be, I think, on a very, very short leash. And, two or three bad outings. And I think it's Brad Peacock or Chris Davinsky or somebody will take that role and might not relinquish it.
Well, yeah. Right now, I'd rather own Brad Hand or Archie Bradley than Ken Giles. It's not even close.
I think I'd rather own the next guy, Hector Neris, than Ken Giles. And I own Ken Giles in two leagues, Timmy, and in my two dynasty leagues, and I'm deeply worried. But Hector Neris, I mean, he ended the season very, very strong. Nice young kid with a team that we talked about at the top of the show that's getting better.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are undervaluing Neris. I know they brought in Tommy Hunter, and they got Nishak, and it's not a bad little bullpen at all, but I still think that Hector Neris is going to keep that job, and he's going to hold it for the full year.
This is where it gets very, very interesting, Timmy. 17, you got Blake Treinen, the Oakland situation. Brandon Morrow, great pitcher, but how many innings before his arm falls off? Jairus Familia, they're talking about a committee there. Mark Melanson, which great third person there that might take over Slugger Strickland. I left it in there, Timmy. So I thought that was freaking awesome. That was really, really good. I mean, those four, it's dicey, man. I mean, there is a problem with each and every one of that situation.
Well, yeah, there certainly is. You look at training. A lot of people are looking at, the stint with Oakland at the end of the year. But lest we forget, he lost
yes.
the job in Washington because he was horrible, right?
That's right. Lost it to my buddy Coda Glover, which is still trying to recover from shoulder surgery.
Yeah, so, there's question marks with training. I'm avoiding Brandon Morrow, okay? I don't care if he's got the job. I'm gonna take Steve Cishek in the 26th round, okay, in all my drafts and hope for the best. I think Familia, unless Mickey Callaway decides that he wants to go with a three-man committee or two-man committee, I like Familia. But again, hey, who knows what Callaway is eventually going to do? And Mark Melanson was supposed to be 100% entering the spring, and he still isn't. So there's caution there too.
If there's one guy on this list, Timmy, that should be good, and it scares me to death, is Mark Melanson. I don't trust him at all. Here's the thing. I don't trust Sam Dyson at all as well. I bought a couple of shares in him early last year, if you recall, and it was terrible. He got demoted to like high A, if I recall. Wound up saving some games at the end of the year just because there was nobody there. I think I like Tony Watson in this group.
Yeah, Tony Watson yeah, I think Jared Dyson pitched better than Sam most of last year.
Yeah, that's true. But I'm very, very worried about Mark Melanson. It's the health, and he's an older pitcher now. I know they spent a lot, but it was a different time when they were giving out big contracts to guys who don't throw very hard. He's never struck out a lot of guys. It is danger all over it.
Yep, I totally agree, Rich.
21, you got to roll to Vizcaino in Atlanta. 22, Alex Claudio, which, this is where it gets really, really interesting. Kelvin Herrera, Shane Green. Timmy, talk to me about these four. I mean, this is just getting very, very disconcerting.
Well, of those four, I definitely like Vizcaino the best. I've got him ranked the highest. But What I find interesting in the Atlanta situation, Rich, is that everybody right now is saying that A.J. Minter is the man, okay? He's the guy that's going to take over when, not if, when Vizcaino fails. I think it's going to be Jose Ramirez. Are they going to give the job to a kid who's got like half a dozen innings under his belt, who's had health issues? I think people are missing the boat with Jose Ramirez, but I don't think it matters because I think Vizcaino has as good a chance as finishing the season as some of the other guys on this list. I don't mind Vizcaino. Claudio's, hey, he's a soft tossing lefty. Herrera, I'm not touching with a 10-foot pole. And Green, I'm just concerned he'll get moved.
Yeah, and there's Joe Jimenez, Timmy. I mean, we talked to him up a couple of years ago, and he did not pitch well, but the guy's got really, really good stuff. So I think there could be something there.
Well, the bottom line is at some point in time, they're going to have to give him the ball, and they're going to have to say, okay, Joe, this is your chance. You're in the ninth inning. We're rebuilding. Let's see what you got. And at some point in time, hopefully they give the kid a look, and one way or another, they can have a definitive approach moving forward, looking to the future.
So just I'm going to throw another name at you, Timmy. Okay. And I wrote about him. He was the number 10th prospect. Brian Garcia in AAA.
Okay.
I have a ceiling as a closer. He was a closer for the AAA ball club. Just etch him in your kitchen table. Struck out 73 and two-thirds innings. Struck out 100 batters. Saved 23 games. Just saying.
Can you go to that Prospect 361 site, Rich? Okay, put a little slash mark and put his name after that Joey Jimenez guy. If you can do that for me, I'd appreciate it.
It's funny. I said, yes, I've said that Joe Jimenez will be the future closer of the Tigers. However, if that doesn't work out, Brian Garcia is another guy to monitor. So just, they took him in the sixth round of the 2016 MLB draft, and he's already made it to AAA. So just a guy to keep in mind, Tim.
Hey, Rich, who's this Billabong kid that everybody's drafting?
Billabong?
Or Billadoo or something.
Oh, from Minnesota? Akil Badu. Yeah, Timmy, second round pick. I think I grabbed him in four of the five dynasty leagues. Yeah, it's a toolsy little kid
Yeah, I didn't know a thing about this kid, and all of a sudden, you're drafting him all over the place. Well, there's a big, like, there's a flag waving there, but then I see people all over the place are starting to draft this kid, and I don't even know what his name is. I'm missing something here, Rich. Too much time vacationing, obviously. Oh.
Yeah, just check him out, Timmy. He can really control the strike zone very, very well. Had a really good season last year. He's in the lower minor, so he's a couple of years away. But tooled up and the kid can hit. There's something there. And I really like that Minnesota Twins organization. I mean, I think there's something there. And I think they've learned how to draft better and they've learned how to develop players better. And I still like Max Kepler, and I like Akil a lot. And I think put my money where my mouth is. I drafted him in the first and second round.
Well, yeah. No, like I said, it just sort of jumped out at me all of a sudden. I'm seeing his name coming up more than Mike Trout's, okay? And, like, I got to figure out what's going on.
Yeah, well, there you go, Timmy. So Brian Garcia with the Detroit Tigers. Keep him on the block. So let's go to the Baltimore situation back in BRAC. Very, very funny, Timmy, of course, after the – so I was in India last week, Timmy, and I was in a design meeting, and there was a guitar in the design meeting, like as a prop, because, you know, designers like to be creative and so forth. And I said, does that thing work? No. I said, bring it over here. Tuned it up, Timmy. And there was a kid in there who could sing and did a little concert. It was a little impromptu concert. So let's see. So I did Hotel California, including the guitar solo, at least part of it. I thought that was a lot of fun. I did always a fan favorite, the Sweet Home Alabama. Always a fan favorite there. Did that. The kid knew that song. And then I did I did an AC/DC song. I did Back in Black. So they liked that one as well. So that was a nice little 20-minute, 15-minute little concert. Never didn't even know the guy. He just said, I said, can anybody sing? He goes, yeah, I sing in a band. I go, you know, classic rock songs. I go, which one? He goes, how about Back in Black? Just started playing it. So it was fun.
And the guy that said the guitar doesn't work is now been demoted to wherever.
I should have taken a picture of it, Timmy. It was like an acoustic guitar, and it had a little sign on it that says "Do not touch." I'm like, come on now, like come on. What do you have a guitar at if you're not going to touch it? So
it didn't have a Martin insignia on it, right?
It was not a very good guitar, but hey man, I tuned it up and got it to work at least for three songs. So it was good. People liked it. We had a good. Anyway, Brad Brock, and he looks like he gets the start. Everybody seems to like Michael Givens. We have no idea when Zach Britton's going to come back, but the word I'm hearing is the people like Michael Givens more than Zach Britton. Than Brad Bach.
That's probably because you've just been listening to me on the podcast, Rich, and I've been buying them everywhere. But yeah, I really like Givens. I think he's gonna find his way into a handful of saves over the course of the season. Peripherals are off the charts, the K rates. And let's face it, in the first half of the year, if Red Rock does struggle, I think Givens is next in line. So yeah, I like him a lot, and I like the price. You're looking at $2-3 a late round pick. That's my type of price.
I thought 2 years ago that Zach Britton would be traded at the deadline because the Orioles wouldn't be any good. They were, and I thought Michael Givens would take over as the closer, and he wasn't very good. So I might have been a couple of years too early. I think Michael Givens is starting to turn into a nice little pitcher. Why is Blake Parker the incumbent for the Angels? I mean, Cam Bedrosian's a better pitcher.
Yeah, and you know, right now, I was sort of surprised, but the Scotia didn't give it to Parker based on he finished the season. And you know, you take a look at it, Parker's strikeout rate, 86 strikeouts, 67 and a third. But, you know, hey, right now, Scotia's saying it's an open job. I'm giving a slight edge to Parker, but, hey, don't rule Cam Bedrosian out from actually winning the job. That's probably going to go down to the last weekend, Rich.
I thought your comment about Fernando Rondi was, Timmy, was spot on. I mean, you can't get any better than this. I mean, at some point, it's not going to work. And I thought it wouldn't work in Arizona. And, you know, I had Archie Bradley and guys like that, and somehow he made it through the whole season. Addison Reed's a much better pitcher than Fernando Rondi. When does Reed get the closing job, or does he ever get it?
Well, there's no doubt in my mind he'll have the closing job in 2019 because he's on a 2-year deal. Rodney's on a 1-year deal. Okay, so I would pretty well carve it in your kitchen table that Addison Reed is the closer next year. I think he's going to be the closer by the All-Star break. At some point in time, it has to run out. And I'm going to keep repeating that year after year after year, and eventually I'm going to be right.
Yeah, I don't. I just can't own Fernando Rondi. Just can't do it. Nobody. You cannot own Fernando Rondi. I mean, he'll have a 6 ERA, but somehow he gets saves. And these baseball teams, Timmy, have to be getting smarter though, and go, look, this just isn't worth it. These are too expensive, and there's too much luck involved with Fernando Rondi.
At some point in time, it has to end. Why not this year, Rich?
Going back to cite the great Tony Cincotta, we used to talk about, and I always dismiss this because Tony always thought that, you know, some people just don't have the mentality to be a closer. And I said, that's poppycock. If you got really good stuff, it doesn't matter. You should be able to close. It doesn't matter if you're pitching in the ninth inning or the third inning. And he always disagreed with me. And I think Luke Gregerson, though, really supports Tony Cincotta's argument because this is a guy who's got really good stuff. He's a good pitcher. But every time he's thrown into the closer role, Timmy, it doesn't work.
No. Has he ever started a season and finished a season as a closer in his career? I don't think so.
Yep. I mean, I owned him during the Houston Ken Giles debacle, and I picked up 15 saves or whatever, but he didn't start off as a closer. He didn't end as a closer, Timmy, and that's Luke Gregerson.
Yeah, and you know what? this Saturday in Tote, I think one of the first players I'm going to nominate, Rich, if I get the chance, is I'm going to throw Alex Reyes out there for about $6 just to have some fun.
You think $6? Is it an AL? Is it an NL only, or is it mixed?
It's a mixed league.
Wow. I mean, be careful, Timmy. $6 sounds like a lot for Alex Reyes.
I'll take Reyes at $6 because I think he's going to end up with some saves before it's all said and done.
Oh, boy, Timmy. I hope you – I mean, I think you're right, but I also worry that he's coming back from Tommy John surgery, hasn't pitched any, and it might be second half of the season before that happens. I think they're going to be very, very careful with him.
Yeah, I think they are too, but I also think, Rich, if I go $5 or $6 on him, somebody will pay a buck more because he's Alex Reyes and I can walk away. So I do have that option.
Yeah, that's fair. I think because I just finished the NL Impact Rookies, and I think I stated that Alex Reyes, I think, will be the closer because, quite frankly, the Cardinals have a history of this, taking starters who – I mean, they did it with Adam Wainwright. Back in the day, to me, he was their starter, and he was a young kid, and they made him a closer. And then they did the same thing with Trevor Rosenthal. We thought Trevor Rosenthal was going to be a starter, and they converted him into a closer. We thought they were going to convert him back, and they said, nope, we like his stuff better in the bullpen. They kept him there. So they have a history of doing this.
Well, yeah, and you know, what better way to get Reyes back into back into 100% shape, then give him an opportunity to work out of the pen. They won't. They've already said, I think, that that's going to be his first destination. So I don't think they'll rush him into the rotation. No reason.
Brad Ziegler has won me a lot of fantasy championships, Timmy. I'm not going to lie to you. I had him when he was in Arizona, and I got a ton of saves, and I rode him because there was a ton of saves to be had with this guy. So I've always been of the belief that he will close, and I think he'll be in Miami longer than people think.
Well, I know Mattingly likes Barraclough in the eighth inning and to have some flexibility with him, but I'm just not convinced that Brad Ziegler is going to make it through the entire season successfully. So if I was to invest in Ziegler, I'd want to have Barraclough, possibly even Drew Steckenrider, kicking around just in the event that there's problems.
Yeah, Steckenrider has been going higher and higher in drafts. People definitely caught on to the name. Just be careful with Ziegler. I mean, he's sneaky, Tim. He throws in the mid-80s, but somehow he winds up doing it. I don't know how. The last team is the Chicago White Sox, Timmy, and I think it was, again, 2 years ago. I might be making this stuff. Maybe it was 3 years ago. We all thought that Nate Jones was going to be the guy, and I forgot who the incumbent was. And he got hurt and never made it, but he's having a great spring. Joaquin Soria is done. Let's face it, Timmy. Everybody has a has a shelf life. Joaquin Soria looks done. I think it's Nate Jones, and that's the guy I would be taking.
Yeah, the only problem I have personally with Nate Jones is I've been on the Nate Jones train so many times only to get booted off by the conductor. You know, I've definitely mentioned him. I think if he's healthy, he's got the best arm, but for some reason, it just hasn't worked yet for Nate Jones. Soria, I would not buy. I would rather own Juan Manaea right now than Soria. But definitely, I agree with that. I think Soria's best days are – I don't even know why they picked him up, Rich. I'm sort of surprised on that one.
Yeah. All right. So, Tim, I got two really, really tough questions for you. You ready? And then we're going to wrap it up.
Sounds good.
Tell me the backup closer, the guy in waiting, one of these guys on the right-hand side of the page that you are going to own. It can be a two or three if you want, that you just don't believe in the closer, and these are the guys that you are investing in. One of them, I think you already mentioned, I forgot who that was, Steve Cisak, because you don't believe in Brandon Marr. Who are those guys that don't pick the closer, pick this guy?
Steve Cisak is definitely one. I want to own Cisak all over the place. He's not going to cost me anything, and I really think he's going to find his way into saves. I want Jose Ramirez before I want A.J. Minter in redraft leagues. Definitely. I don't want anybody in Kansas City. And I like Michael Givens a lot. And Addison Reed.
Okay. So you did break up on. So it was A.J. Minter was the guy that you said for it was a backup to Roldis Viscount, another guy that you'd be drafting. I think that's who you said. And who was the other two?
No, I said I would draft Jose Ramirez before A.J. Minter.
Ah, okay. Got okay. What about before Vizcaino, though?
No, definitely not. I just wanted to get a cheap Jose Ramirez plug in, Rich. Sorry.
Okay. Okay, that's okay.
As usual, so tell me, I'm not listening, gosh darn it. I'm not listening.
I know. So tell me, let me repeat the instructions, Timmy. Okay.
Okay.
You ready? You listening?
Okay. I'm taking notes. Locked.
You're not going to draft a closer on the left-hand side, but instead you're going to draft his backup. You've already told me one guy was you're not going to draft Brandon Marr. You're going to draft Steve Cishek. Who's another one of those types of players?
Chris Devensky before Ken Giles.
Wow.
Over Ken Giles.
Ooh, Timmy hates. It's too easy with Fernando Rodney. That doesn't count.
Yeah.
So give me one more.
that doesn't. You know, Mike Socha has found a way to annoy me over the past few years on a regular basis. So I'm gonna go. Nah, skip that one. I'm gonna own Michael Givens before I own Brad Brack.
I think that's really good, Timmy. I'm going to own, as I said before, I'm going to own Nate Jones before I own Joaquin Soria. So that's definitely my guy. I love Ken Giles, but Timmy, I think you're right. I'm really worried about that. Actually, I have three questions for you. That was my first one.
Okay.
Second one is who takes Greg Holland?
He goes to Japan. No, I don't know what's going to happen with Greg Hall. I really, honestly, when I look at this, St. Louis, it screams St. Louis, okay, all over it, okay. But are the cards going to do it? I think it's got to be either St. Louis or Chicago. Those would be the two teams that I would look like. And I don't think it's going to be either one. I think somebody's going to step out and give him a one-year deal, and he'll end up in a setup or a seventh-inning role. That's what I think will eventually happen.
St. Louis seems too perfect, Timmy. It just, like, really, Luke Gregerson, I mean, that seems like the place for him, which I don't understand. It sounds like that. How much money they gave Brandon Marr. It sounds like the Cubs are going with Brandon Marr because, you know, the manager over there can make anything happen. So that looks like what they're going to do.
Well, here's another one for you, Rich. Now that the Phillies, okay, are World Series contenders, maybe the Phillies will pick them up.
Yeah, true. I mean, yeah, they could probably I think Greg Holland wants to be a closer. I bet you that's part of the reason he's hanging around until he gets a guaranteed spot to close.
Well, yeah, but when you look at all the teams, okay, that are sitting in a situation, okay, where they could use a closer because they're contending teams, Anaheim would be a nice fit. Greg Holland and Anaheim would make sense over Blake Parker and Cam Bedrosian. Minnesota on a one-year deal Rodney doesn't work out. But teams like the White Sox and Miami, they're not going to spend any money on a Greg Hall. They're not contending. They're not in a situation where they have to spend the money. Same with Kansas City, right? Like, Herrera has not been good. But are they going to spend – why would they spend money on Greg Holland? You know what I mean?
Yeah, so you're right. So it's, you know, you only have 12 teams that are contending. So everybody else is sitting out. Well, it makes this a little bit easier. But the team that sits out like a sore thumb is the St. Louis Cardinals because they can contend for a wild card team, and it seems like a perfect fit for him. I think if the money is right, that's where he goes. But It hasn't happened yet. My final question for you, Tim, this is going to be really hard.
Okay.
Corey Knebel, we can go back and look last year where you ranked him. I'm guessing nowhere. You've got him ranked.
Because I like Jacob Barnes going into that battle, and I lost that one, Rich, big time.
But he's now ranked as the fourth closer off the board, Timmy, and pretty much locked in. And you say it best, 126 strikeouts and 76 innings. Wow, simply wow. Who is this time when we're talking next year, Timmy? Who is Corey Knebel? Who is going to be that guy that busts out? We see it every year. Who is it?
Yeah, we do. Decisions.
I have stumped the great Tim McLeod.
Well, there's a couple. Let's go Kirby Yates.
Wow. Tim going very deep. Who else you got? Kirby Yates at San Diego. So that means that Brad Hand has either got to get moved or gets hurt, because Brad Hand's a good pitcher too.
Yeah. Michael Givens, but he's already got a little bit of – he's already got a good head of steam happening.
I have a name for you.
Okay, I'm just scanning through this list of names real quick.
I have a name for you, Tim.
Okay, I'm listening. Fire away, Rich. Who you got?
I think Alex Reyes gets the job by June and is so dominant that he becomes a top 5-6 closer next year and never becomes a starter.
Rich, there are people right now, okay, who are running for tissues. They're running for paper towels, real towels, okay? there's not enough in their house to mop up the tears, okay? But you know what? It's not a bad call. What happens if he gets out there this year and is absolutely mind-blowing dominant for the Cards? Like, what do they do? They roll him back out again next year, right?
In a short... You know, and one innings of, you know, the 23 pitches, Timmy, he's going to be, it'll be 102, 103. It'll be a Aroldis Chapman type stuff with a nasty slider and a pretty good changeup. It's going to be nasty. And yeah, so what? He can't throw strikes all day long. It could be dominant. It could be really, really dominant stuff. And, you know, we saw with Aroldis Chapman. Remember, he's supposed to be a starter, Timmy. Remember?
Oh, yeah.
Rossy Iglesias? Rossy Iglesias is supposed to be a starter, right?
Well, closers aren't born. They were all starters at some point in time. If you go back to Little League, right?
Well, Jansen was a catcher, so Kenley Jansen started off as a catcher, but most of them start off as starting pitchers. But that's, to me, is like that. Is an interesting thing. And let's talk about for Dynasty League, because I own Alex Reyes in a Dynasty League, and if he becomes Corey Knebel, if he becomes Craig Kimbrel, is that so bad?
I wouldn't have any problems with it. I like saves. I like them lots. Yeah. The bottom line is, as long as he's contributing to your team, no, I don't think it's so bad at all. Let's face it. Most starters are going with five, six innings. The game is shifting to more of a relief pitcher emphasis. Having a strong closer, I'd rather have a top five closer than a solid number three. How's that?
I agree, Timmy. And while I think the stuff will play for Alex Reyes, I think he has a chance to be a dominant starter. Timmy, if St. Louis gets on a run, makes the playoffs, does well in the playoffs, and Alex Reyes is a closer, don't like to mess with that combination sometimes, and it happens over and over and over again. So that's just that's one thing I just throw out there.
No, and Dave, I think it's very fair. If he does end up at some point in time earning saves, and he's good at it, St. Louis could leave him there. Oh yeah, why would they pull him out of it, Rich?
We'll see where it goes. Timmy, that's a wrap, man. We finally made it through a show.
Yeah, that's almost like one in a row, isn't it?
It is. So, say hi to Darth Vader.
Say hi to Darth Vader for me when you're talking to him, Rich. Tell him I'm not really impressed.
So hopefully, Timmy, you will do well. You'll make us all proud in your tout draft coming up this weekend. Hopefully, yeah, we'll be able to maybe have a breakfast together, because I know the dinners are already planned out for me, or lunch or something, and we'll try to get together when I'm there. I will call you tomorrow or Wednesday, and we can chat about that. But anything else you'd like to share with our listeners?
No, other than the fact that I'm having a lot of fun. I spent the weekend with the kids and the grandkids and got some pictures up on Facebook. Just had a lot of fun with the kids, and it was great. And now we're on to the baseball part of the program, and I'll be in New York City in a couple of days, and looking forward to it. The last time I was in New York was 1967. I'm assuming a few things have changed, Rich.
Yeah, it's been cleaned up since you went. So there's not a hooker in every corner. So it's nicely cleaned up and very expensive.
Okay, well, thanks for the bad news.
Yeah, I don't know where to go with that, Timmy. So
you've depressed the living bejesus out of me, Rich.
There you go, Timmy. Yeah, so Times Square is actually nice now. So it's no longer what it used to be. But look, have a great drive. And as we leave, Timmy, I'm going to play in honor of you being in Timmins, where, Ontario?
Timmins, Ontario.
I'm going to play myself copying an Andy Timmins song called Sparkle.
Be well, my friend.
See ya.